Welcome. First of all, welcome. This is Unsolicited Perspectives. I'm your host, Bruce Anthony, here to lead the conversation in important events and topics that are shaping today's society. Join the conversation and follow us wherever you get your audio podcasts. Subscribe to our YouTube channel to watch our video podcast. Rate, review, like, comment, share. Share with your friends, share with your family, hell, even share with your enemies. On today's episode, I'll be interviewing Ashley and Aspen Sumner. They're twins, but they're way more than that. They're writers, directors, podcasters, entrepreneurs. Not only do they do a podcast, it's a twin thing. They also have a theater company that helps underprivileged kids called Stage Bugs Theater. But that's enough of this intro. Let's get to the conversation. So like I said at the top, I'm here with Ashley and Aspen, twins that are very, very creative. I'm excited to talk to them. You know how much I love speaking to Gen Z and their entrepreneurial and aspiration and their spirit and their energy. And these two young ladies exemplify that completely. Ashley, Aspen, thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're super excited.
Absolutely. Look, And you guys have such an interesting story, but I want to go to the beginning. So you guys are identical twins. Can you tell me a little bit about what it was like for you guys growing up, or you're still growing, but so far growing up as identical twins?
Sure. Yeah, it is interesting because people always ask us what it's like to be a twin, and we don't really know how to answer because we've never not been a twin. Yeah. So it's just normal for us. But I think that we definitely had a very unique experience growing up because we are very similar in a lot of ways. So we always kind of had someone who we could do everything with and who had the same interests as us. And it, as people say, it is really like having a built-in best friend. So it was really amazing, and we're very grateful to have grown up having each other around. At the same time, there were definitely some challenges to growing up being identical twins because we often ran into the issue of people not seeing us as individual people and only seeing us as the twins. And so we struggled to like make friends and to have our own identities, especially when we had different interests or we would have the same interest and we would try to do something together and people would just like group us together instead of letting us be our own people. So of course there were some difficulties to being twins and having someone who was so similar. I think it also caused us to fight a lot because we were just very similar and had the same kind of personalities and annoyances. But overall, growing up being twins was really a huge advantage. And I think that we really just always had someone who could encourage us and support us. And we would always support each other's crazy ideas. So I think that it really contributed to our ambitions to have someone like that in our lives.
So Aspen, can you expand upon that? Because I'm really interested. Is it just you two? Do you have siblings?
No, it's just us. We've always wanted a little sister, but our parents said no.
Well, let me just tell you, as somebody who is the oldest and has two younger siblings, I begged my mom for a brother and got a sister and then eventually got a brother. And they're, my sister doesn't agree that siblings can be best friends. I disagree. We're best friends. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that you said that there's a lack of people identifying you as something separate other than twins. And I know my parents would often group us in together and we're not twins. So Aspen, how difficult is that that searching for your own identity when you look across the room and there's somebody who looks exactly like you and has the same mannerisms and enjoys some of the same things?
Yeah, I think we definitely went through phases where it was harder and easier on us. Thankfully, our parents
because they saw us every day kind of going through the struggle of complaining that people didn't see us as individuals, they really, I think, made a huge effort to let us have things that were separate from each other and try to encourage us to do separate things. Or like, even when we were little, we would go on date nights where it was just me and my dad and just Ashley and my mom or something like that, so that we didn't feel like we always had to be together. But I think it is challenging because our whole lives, we've definitely felt like there's things that we can't do because we're twins. Even just like, we have one class together right now. We're both seniors in college. And yesterday we were in class and she was sitting the way that I wanted to sit. And I was like, well, everyone's going to think I look stupid if I cross my legs because I'm going to be sitting the exact same way as Ashley. And it's like such a dumb example, but you're constantly thinking about, okay, how do I differentiate myself from my sister? And I think when we were younger, it was a lot harder because we would definitely have experiences where people would be like we had a director that we auditioned for a play one time. He called us and he was like, I really wanted to work with both of you, but you just look too similar. And I didn't know how to have two people who look so similar in the cast. And I didn't want to only cast one of you. And things like that would happen to us so often. And it was just difficult because we were like, we both have similar interests and we don't want to only allow one of us to do something we're both interested in. But how do we reconcile that with always competing with each other and feeling like we look too similar to have people think of us as separate individuals? And I think making friends, especially in high school, middle and high school, was hard because people just assumed, oh, the twins are going to work together. The twins are going to do this together. And the twins are just one person. And so it was hard to find people who just wanted to know me as Aspen or just wanted to know her as Ashley. And I think we kind of really resisted that for a while, especially the last couple years of high school and the first couple years of college. And now we definitely still, it's important to us to be seen as individuals and we try to do things separately. But I think we've also learned to not resist it so much because we know that we do better as a team and we work really well together. And so I think we've come to embrace being twins and also still trying to have our own identities, I guess.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I think, you know, people who aren't twins and they see twins, they think of a lot of the benefits, right, of having a twin, a built-in best friend, somebody that's like you, you can share clothes, bounce ideas off of, but they don't, I'm sure this is eye-opening to my audience to look at, hear you guys and hear the aspect of, you know, I'm my own person. We're not the same. We have different names. Even though we're identical, we have different characteristics. We're not the same person. So that's interesting that you had that growing up, and that's eye-opening. Another obstacle or challenge, that's a better word. Another challenge that you have is that you guys are survivors of twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome. Now, I'm not too familiar with that, and I know there are a lot of people in my audience aren't as well. Could you kind of explain what exactly that is?
Yeah, so, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. So it is a fetal syndrome that we had before we were born. So when my mom was pregnant with us, Ashley was getting basically all of the nutrients from the placenta and I wasn't getting any. So at the time in 2003, there was a lot less research and treatment options than there are now. So doctors were basically, they told our parents that they could terminate the pregnancy or just wait for us to die because they didn't think there was really any chance we would survive. And my parents weren't willing to give up. So they did a ton of research and they found a doctor in Florida who could perform in utero surgery. So they flew out to Florida and got this surgery done and it saved our lives. So of course we weren't born when that happened, but it's had a huge impact on our lives because our parents started a nonprofit foundation after that happened to help other families with fetal syndromes and help provide support and awareness, and as well as flying people out to get treatment because it's so hard to find, or providing hotels and travel and things like that. And so we always grew up knowing, wow, that was not good grammar. We grew up always knowing that it was something that had a profound impact on our lives before we were even born. And I think that that really contributed to us always feeling grateful to have each other, because we knew that there was a chance that it could have just been one of us or just been the other one.
Or been neither of us.
Yeah. There's a story of, I think we were 3 or 4, and I don't remember this, but my parents like to tell it. We were just in the car driving to a restaurant or something, and all of a sudden Ashley was just like, thank you, Dr. Quintero, who was the doctor that did our surgery, for saving us, because I don't remember exactly what she said, but something about like, she just couldn't imagine her life without her sister. And so I think that just really goes to show that even when we were toddlers, we knew that our lives were better because we had each other in them.
Oh, that's sweet. So your parents, dealing with this, went out on their own, didn't give up hope, found a solution, found a doctor that could help, and then started a foundation to help people that were going through the same thing. And you guys are the poster child, children, not children anymore, but the posters of this foundation. Now, okay, this is a difficult question because you kind of answered it, because you're thankful for each other that you had this blessing of you guys both being in your life. Is there another side? Is there a little bit of guilt at all for having to go through that?
I don't know that there's necessarily guilt about it because we weren't even born yet. So I think right. that we have always been aware of it kind of in the way that our parents have told us about it and that it has affected our lives now. So I think that it's always been more of something that we are grateful for. But I think because of our parents' foundation, we've seen a lot of families not have a positive outcome when mm-hmm. they've had fetal syndrome. So I think that it has really affected us because we've always known how close we came to not having each other, not even being alive. So I think that we've always kind of felt like because we were given this chance at life that we want to make it meaningful and do something meaningful. So I think that has really impacted the way that we go about the world because we feel like there must have been a reason that we survived when other kids don't get to. So I think that is more of how it's affected us, I guess. I don't know if you feel differently.
No, yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, okay, so I definitely didn't ask that question right, but that answer was exactly what I was trying to get out. So you answered a question that was poorly worded perfectly. And Ashman, don't worry about mispronouncing words or poor grammar, because on Unsolicited Perspectives, that's all I do all day long is say things poorly. When did you guys know? Because you're in college now. When did you guys know that you wanted to do something different? Because we're going to get into your web series and your nonprofit theater and your podcast. But at what age did you know that, okay, we have a personality and we want to show it to the world?
I think we were 3 and I can't remember which one came first, but the summer we turned 3, we decided to start a drive-through restaurant in our window at our house. That was not very successful. Nobody stopped, but we were very determined. Like, we made posters and menus and signs. And then that same summer, we started a jewelry business where we made a bunch of jewelry out of like safety pins and paper clips and plastic beads and sat out on our driveway for days on end trying to sell this jewelry to raise money for our parents' nonprofit and for Children's Hospital. And we had one very gracious neighbor who came by every day and bought something from us. And then our best friend lived across the street. And so she would come over and sit with us sometimes and bring us popsicles and stuff. So I think that was the start of it.
So you're saying you're doing this at three or four?
Yeah. Yeah. We were very ambitious kids. We were always coming up with new businesses and starting clubs on the playground at school. We were just like, it was our whole lives.
Yeah.
So where does that come from? Does that come from your parents seeing them start a nonprofit organization to benefit other people and you recognizing this early, as you said in the story, somewhere around three, Ashley, you're thanking the doctor for your best friend and your blessing. So where did you see this? Was it your parents? Was it an example of your parents? Was it television? At this time, YouTube wasn't really around, I don't think. So yeah. So where was it that you guys were getting this idea at such a young age?
I think it was our parents. I think that it was kind of just such a big part of our development that I don't think we ever really even thought about it. It was just like we always saw our parents doing everything they could to help people, and our parents are also very ambitious. They started the foundation when we were born. And then when we were four or five, they started a business that they are still running and is super successful. And we were just always seeing them do these crazy new things. And so I think that we just thought that was how everyone operated, that everyone just has an idea and does it. So I think that it was really just the way we were raised, and our parents were always very generous and very, I guess, like philanthropic and just always trying to help people. So I think that was just ingrained in us from like the day we were born, that we always wanted to help people and we always wanted to raise money for their foundation. And we just knew that it was so important. So I think that was really just following in our parents' example.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And so you have this entrepreneurial spirit so young. You have this kind of entertainment spirit so young. What comes first? Is it the podcast or is it the web series?
So the web series came first. But even before that, we were putting on, like, we would write and direct plays and make like short films just with each other, with friends in Colorado, which is where we're from. And then during COVID, it was our senior year of high school, and then our freshman year of college was 2020. So it was a huge time in our lives where all of a sudden we were stuck at home. Our entire first freshman year of college was online. And so we were just like, this was supposed to be a big step forward in our lives, and we were so ready to go to college and have this creative just explosion, I think, because we were going to Los Angeles and we were expecting to just like be immersed in creativity, and instead we were locked up in our bedrooms. So we were like, pretty much right after everything shut down in March of 2020, we were like, we need to do something. We can't just sit around and have no theater and no film and nothing that we can do. And so,
and at the time, we'd been acting for a while. Like, yeah, that was our main focus.
Yeah, we had been acting since we were like 10. And so it started out as just an idea that we were gonna make a few YouTube videos of us pretending to be these kids who were home alone during COVID. And then we needed one actor, and we put out a casting call for an actor to play our mom, because our real mom doesn't like to act at all. Then we just had this insane response because nobody was working and everyone was just desperate for something to do. And we were like, wow, this could actually be really important to people, to give all of these actors something creative to do when there's so much uncertainty and nobody knows what's going on. And so then we developed it into a 10 episode web series that had like, I don't know, like 30 actors at least.
Wow.
And we also just kept thinking about like our little cousins, since we don't have a younger sibling, I feel like our little cousins have always inspired us to do things. And we just kept thinking about them and like how they weren't going to have anything to watch. They were going to be sitting at home all alone and be bored because they were just obsessed with Disney Channel and all of these shows and nothing could be made. And we were like, we want to give them something to entertain them. So that was kind of, I guess, the inspiration. So then we just made this little like family comedy series and were able to include a lot of actors and give them something to do. And it was a lot more work than we expected because it was a lot of editing. Obviously, everyone was just recording on their own and editing is our very much our weak spot.
Yeah, but it was a lot of logistics of sending all of the actors instructions and scripts and gathering all of their footage.
Yeah, but it was a lot of fun and rewarding at the end of the day. And our cousins and then the kids that we teach at the theater company that we run now love the show and they always talk about it. So that even though they're probably some of the only people who have ever seen it, it's worth it because we made some people happy.
So what I'm hearing, and tell me if I'm incorrect, what I'm hearing is, yes, you have a passion to write, act, produce. But that passion necessarily isn't for fame. It is to bring something to the world and help people through whatever strife that they're going through. When you say, well, we started this web series, you know, basically for our cousins because we wanted to make sure that, you know, they had something to watch and they had something to do during this difficult time. It is, I'm not hearing, yeah, we did this because we moved out to LA because we want to be big stars and we want to be rich and millionaires. That's not what I'm hearing. I'm hearing, I kind of just want to do something for others. Am I getting that right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's certainly not a selfless pursuit because it's something that we really love doing. Like our passions are writing and acting and directing and everything like that. So it's not like we hate it and we're just doing it to help others, but definitely the purpose is that, like, the thing that is the most rewarding about it is bringing joy to others. And I think that really the main reason that we did the web series and that we, the thing we look for whenever we're taking on new projects and with the podcast and everything, is that it's just really important to us to bring good into the world and bring joy to people. And so we certainly are not looking for fame or money or anything. We really just do it because we have a passion for it and because we know how important these kinds of things have been to us, and having, you know, shows to watch or books to read or anything like that that can just take you out of your world for a minute and give you something to look forward to or just bring some joy into your life. So I think that is definitely the reason that these things have been so important to us.
So some of the challenges were the logistics of putting together a web series when it's very, everything is remote. So there's a negative on the fact that everything is remote, but the positive is that you actually learned this entire process or did this entire process in one of the most difficult ways possible. Aside from the logistics, what were some of the other complications and rewards for doing the web series?
I think probably one of the biggest, maybe not complications, but just challenges was, as I think is usually a huge challenge with anything creative, is just getting the word out there and marketing it, because we are not good at that. And we felt like people had put so much work into it and we wanted people to see it. And also because we really wanted it to just make people laugh and make people smile and be able to bring a little bit of joy to people's lives. And so we wanted to get it out there as much as we could. And I think it was, we dealt with a lot of discouragement of it. Like, our first few episodes got a lot of views, and then some got like 100. And so it was like, that's still, you know, some people are watching it, but I think there, it was definitely like hard to get over, or not get over, but just like to not feel disappointed. And I also think another major challenge was that we were locked in the house together 24/7. And so it was hard. And we have, I mean, we work really well together, but we have different ways of handling stress and dealing with work and approaching deadlines and things like that. And I'm very type A and a little bit of a control freak. And I think we're both very much control
freaks. Yeah, I was going to say she's a little bit of a control freak too, but I think in a different way. And so we would get on each other's nerves sometimes. And a lot of times
it was, and we were both also working. And so our schedules didn't line up all the time. And so we would be like, she would get home from an 8-hour shift and I would be like, okay, we need a film. And she was like, no, I just want to take a shower. And like, so yeah, I think that was definitely a challenge. But I think, like I mentioned earlier, I think the most rewarding thing is just we would do Zoom calls with our family just to see everyone, and our cousins would be like, that was so funny when you had the dog and you said blah, blah, blah. Or just like seeing, because even if our 8 cousins were the only people who ever watched it, if they genuinely enjoyed it and it made them smile and could take their minds off of that, it felt like the world was falling apart, I think that was super rewarding. And then some of the actors that were involved, especially some, we had a lot of kids that were in it, and them and their parents especially would just express so much gratitude to have something that they could work on and see their kids feeling joy and feeling like they were a part of something when they couldn't go to school and they couldn't see their friends and things like that. I think we didn't really consider how much of an impact it would have on the actors. And I don't think everybody was like, oh my gosh, this was such an amazing experience, because some were just like, wanted an IMDb credit. But I think that some, it really meant something to them. And so that was definitely an impact that I didn't expect to have that was really meaningful to me.
Yeah. And I think even though it was very difficult to do it remotely, it also allowed us to have actors from all over the world. And so that was a really amazing experience to get to work with so many different people and make some really great connections with people. Some of the people we're still in touch with who worked on the project. And so I think that was a huge benefit of having to do it remotely, was getting to connect with so many people.
Hey there, podcast listeners. It's Bruce Anthony here, and welcome to another episode of Unsolicited Perspectives. Today, I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind lately, the importance of staying hydrated and taking care of ourselves. Whether it's prioritizing our health and wellness, or gearing up for festival seasons, or just gearing up for whatever season or time of year, there's one brand that's been my go-to for all things hydration, Liquid IV. Speaking of health and wellness, let's dive into how Liquid IV can fuel your well-being. Imagine starting your day off right, feeling refreshed and energized. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier is the missing piece in your daily routine. With just one stick, you get 5 essential vitamins and 2 times faster hydration than water alone. It's perfect for those early mornings, pre-workout boosts, moments when you're just feeling run down, or even after a late night or long flights. I absolutely love how convenient Liquid IV is. The packaging makes it easy to bring with me wherever I go. And let me tell you, it's become vital daily part of my routine. The flavors, let me tell you something, they're incredible. From refreshing sea berry and strawberry lemonade to classics like lemon lime and watermelon, there's a flavor for every preference. It's like a burst of hydration with a hint of deliciousness. Picture this. One stick of Liquid IV mixed in 16 ounces of water, hydrating you 2 times faster and more efficient than water alone. And with 12 mouth-watering flavors, you'll never get bored with your hydration routine. Plus, Liquid IV is packed with 5 essential vitamins, B3, B5, B6, B12, and of course, vitamin C. It's also made with premium ingredients, non-GMO, free of gluten, dairy, and soy. This is hydration at its finest. But it doesn't stop there. Liquid IV believes that access to clean and abundant water is the foundation of a healthier world. That's why they partner with leading organizations, finding innovative solutions to help communities protect both their water and their futures. It's incredible to know that Liquid IV has already donated over 39 million servings in 50 plus countries around the world. They truly walk the talk. Get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code unsolicited at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code unsolicited at liquidiv.com. Remember, folks, taking care of ourselves should always be a priority. So why wait? Head over to liquidiv.com, pick your favorite flavors, and experience hydration like never before. Stay refreshed, stay hydrated, and keep rocking those unsolicited perspectives. So it's so interesting, you know, you talk about being siblings and working together because, you know, I have a show that I do with my sister and we are very different as far as our work management is concerned. I am the producer. I know she's going to be upset that I'm throwing her under the bus, but I've said it online before. Like, I am the producer. And there's a lot of times I need to balance the show from her ideas because she can kind of go off in one area. And I'm like, we need to keep the audience kind of in this pocket here. So you guys do the web series and then you start a podcast. How did all of that come about? How did that transition happen?
It's kind of a longish story, but I guess the short version is so after we did the web series, we did a film spinoff of it, a Christmas movie, because we love Christmas a lot. And then after that year, we finally got to come onto campus for school. And so we were on campus for about a year and a half. And then we kind of took a pause from, I mean, we were still doing stuff, but that was when we started our theater company. So we kind of took a pause from creating things in line with the web series and everything. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You do the web series, then the theater company happens, then you do the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, let's backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about the theater company because I love the idea of it so much. So you started Stage Bugs Theater. That's catering to underprivileged youth. Can you explain to my audience the transition to start this? What did you see that you saw that this would be important to do? And how did you even get this started?
Yeah, I mean, Stage Bugs was something that we had kind of had a seed planted for a while. When we were teenagers, we had always thought that it would be really fun to be able to teach theater. And we had done a little bit of that, just like with our high school, we would go to the middle school and do some teaching and stuff like that. And we always loved it. And we kept saying that we would love to start a summer camp or start a theater company. And our parents were like, well, you're 15, so people aren't going to like entrust you with their kids for a week. But we had always wanted to start a theater company. And our senior year, Aspen wrote and directed a play to raise money for our parents' foundation. So we were always interested in that. And then Aspen had interned at a summer camp that was theater based. And we were like, we could do that. And that was the summer before our sophomore year of college.
Can I interrupt?
Oh, yes. Second. I was just going to say, during that internship experience, I think we both kind of noticed that it was a good program, but it was very exclusive. Just like a lot of, I don't want to say rich kids, but like rich kids. It was expensive.
This is unsolicited perspectives. Go ahead and say what you want to say.
Yeah, and it was very, I guess, there's a lot of like theater politics that I think we experienced mm-hmm. when we did educational theater when we were kids, where it was like, you're either the best or it feels like you're just not valued and nobody notices you. And so during my experience working as an intern, I think we both were just like, we feel like there needs to be something that every kid can just have access to, where every kid feels like they can just explore a theater and try it, and they're important and they're valued and they're talented just because they are who they are, and not that if you're not the best singer, then you're paying $1,000 to do this camp where you're just swaying in the background. We wanted it to be, you can come and be a part of this regardless of your background or your experience or your family's financial situation, because we just felt like the good experiences that we had in theater were so instrumental to our lives, and we wanted to make that more accessible to anybody.
Yeah. And I think we had, when we were growing up, we, like Aspen said, we had some really amazing experiences in theater, and we also had some that were extremely discouraging. And I don't think that necessarily anyone who taught us was purposely doing that, but we were both like very shy kids. And so we often felt like we were just put in the background. So we had always thought that it would be really amazing to be able to do something where we could kind of lift up all kids, regardless of their personalities or their backgrounds. So then during our sophomore year of college, our parents were kind of encouraging it. After Aspen had that internship, they were like, yeah, you could do this, you should try it. And so we were just like, okay, let's try it. And we spent a lot of that year just making plans and figuring out all of the logistics and how we could, or if we could realistically start this business. And then we did our first summer camps the summer after our sophomore year. And we had a very, very hard time filling them up and getting people to participate. Also, because it was still during COVID, we had to do them outdoors, which I think people were not as inclined to sign up for. But we ended up, we did not think it was going to happen. We kept thinking we were going to have to cancel them because we didn't have enough kids. But miraculously, we filled them up enough to run them. And then during our junior year, we were able to get approved as a 501c3. And we kind of just like really grew during that year. And we were able to sell out all of our summer camps the second year, which was last summer. And we've just had, we do our best to really just make it accessible. We do a lot of free programs. We do some pay what you can classes. And then we offer scholarships for our summer camps. Our goal is to someday be able to offer all of the programs for free and run solely on donations. But that is
a long way out.
We definitely realized why some theater programs are so expensive, because there are a lot of expenses, but we really just do everything we can to make it inclusive to kids with all backgrounds and all needs. And it really is just like the most rewarding, amazing thing that, at least for me, that we've done. I could talk about it all day. I know we've been talking, we've made this a very long answer, but it is just my greatest joy in my life so far.
That wasn't a long answer. When you're talking about something that's your passion, it's never a long answer. And I'm not trying to gas you up, but I'm going to gas both of y'all up. This is another example of you just trying to spread joy to the world and include everybody. This is part of the reason why I wanted to have you guys on the show, because I really feel like you two women are remarkable. And what you're doing, especially as I look at the school system and seeing arts being taken out of the school system over the last 30, 40 years, just programs being eliminated, that's the arts, whether it's band and theater programs being eliminated, for you, that access that used to be there for people is no longer there, and you are supplying that access. This is a beautiful thing. And I don't care if it's a long answer, because anytime you're talking about your passion, let your voices be heard. I love that. So you start this theater, and to transition now, you've done the web series, you've done the theater. Y'all have been doing stuff since you were 3 years old. You're about to be seniors in college. Somewhere along the line, you start this podcast. Where do y'all have time to study?
We don't sleep very much.
Yeah, it's like midnight. We're like, okay, I'm starting my homework. Wish me luck.
So tell me a little bit more about the podcast, because you guys are twins. And like I said, I have a sibling that I work with, but not nearly as much as you guys work together. So you're doing all of these ventures together, and you start this podcast. Okay, you said you kind of don't remember, but as we're transitioning, you're doing the theater, the podcast is a thing. So what is the purpose of the podcast? Because it seems like everything that you guys do has a purpose and a meaning behind it.
Mm-hmm. So second semester of our junior year, which was last January, we both very much not on purpose had to take leaves of absences for health reasons, different health reasons, and we did not intend for it to be at the same time. Mm-hmm. We were a little bit, not annoyed, but just like, we have to be so similar that we are taking the same semester off, and like, it was for completely unrelated reasons. Like, I had already decided that I wasn't coming back to school, and I was at home. She flew back to LA for the first week of school, and my mom and I were driving out to move all of my stuff out because I had been here for a semester, and like the day before we were leaving to come pack up all of my stuff, Ashley called, and she was like, she had been going through a lot of health issues, and she called and she was like, I can't go to any of my classes. Like, I can't do this semester. I'm going to come home when you come get Aspen stuff. And I was very, very hesitant. Like, my parents kept telling me I should take the semester off, and I didn't want to. And then when I heard Aspen was going to, I was like, no way, we can't take the same semester off. That would be so weird. Yeah. But since we were both going to be at home, we were like, well, this had to have happened for a reason. Like she said earlier, we feel like, I mean, we've always just been big believers that everything happens for a reason. And neither of us were happy about taking the semester off. We've both always been very studious and just kind of
workaholics.
Yeah, and like following the path that we feel like we should be on. So we were like, we need to take advantage of this. And during the health issues that we had both been dealing with, we had found a lot of comfort in podcasts and blogs and books and things where people were very honest and vulnerable and sharing their stories and just seeing and reading and hearing things where other people were going through struggles and were able to make the most out of it and come back from it and be resilient. And we felt like it was hard to find things like that. And there's just so much negativity everywhere you looked of like, the world is ending and everybody hates each other. And we were just like, this is enough. We want something positive. So we were like, well, we love listening to podcasts. We both had like our whole, well, not our dad, but our mom and Ashley and I had this podcast that we listened to all the time. And it was just like, something that we always looked forward to. And so we were like, we should just start a podcast. Yeah.
Everyone was doing it.
Yeah, so everyone. So we just, I guess we were like, let's just do it. Like, we wanted to tell our stories, and we wanted to tell other people's stories. And it started out as an idea just to interview other people who had inspirational stories. But we also know that people are really fascinated by twins, and ever since we were little, people would just always say, you guys should have your own show. It's just so funny to listen to you talk. And so every other week we do interviews with inspirational people. And then the other weeks we do a segmented podcast where we just talk about life as twins and us as 20-something year olds who are people think are 12 and who feel like we're 80, and so what it's like to run 1,000 businesses together. And we just kind of talk about life. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We both are kind of introverts, and so interviewing people every other week has really been quite the experience, and like made me so much more comfortable just talking to people, and like really helps you realize how everyone has a story and everyone's going through their own things that you can't see. And I enjoyed a lot more than I thought I would talking to other people. And then I text Ashley like nightly, and I'm like, we need to record another podcast episode. I just have so much to say, because we have crazy lives, and we do a lot of like stupid, silly things that we just like to talk to each other about, and why not just record it? So
it's mostly just our family that listens to it, but we're like, might as well like let them see inside our lives. And it's kind of the only time that we, not really, but pretty much the only time we talk to each other that's not like a business meeting. So
and people are always texting or emailing or calling us and being like, I was listening to this episode and I was in the grocery store and then I just started cracking up and everyone was staring at me, and they're like, you just need to keep making this because it makes me happy and I love listening to it. So we keep doing it.
Yeah.
So, okay. Podcasting is an interesting game to get into.
Yes.
What has been, you guys are doing a podcast for the positives, but when you're presenting yourself to the world, as I've found out, there's some negativity and some drawbacks that comes with that. Has there been any of that for you guys, or has it just been, this is an opening experience for you guys internally that is helping you blossom as a person?
I think we are still very much in the early phases. We've had our podcast for a little over a year, but we're still really trying to grow. So I don't think we've been like super public enough where we've gotten a lot of negativity, but we've definitely had some things like we post like clips from our podcast on our YouTube channel and everything to try to help with marketing. And there's been a couple of clips that have gotten a lot of attention and some really weird, just like very negative comments for no reason, which of course is par for the course. And we know that it happens to everyone in the world, but we're also very sensitive. So it's hard for us to not be bothered by it. And especially because we're trying to make something positive, it is disappointing when we feel like people are just trying to find ways to be negative about it. But I think really we do our best to ignore those things and also understand that everyone is just human, and the people who are saying those things are probably struggling with something. And so we try to not take it too personally. But yeah, I think for the most part, it has been a very positive experience, but we've definitely had some run into some negativity or had some, you know, interviews that have felt a little bit negative or uncomfortable. But I think that is a good thing to learn how to deal with, especially in all of the professions that we want to go into. We know that we are going to have to learn how to deal with that and develop some thick skin. So I think that is, it's just part of the game.
You said some negative interviews?
Not very many, but we've just had like one or two where we just felt like it was very uncomfortable, or someone was trying to like trap us into saying something like, I don't know.
I don't know how
to like explain it, but
we've had, I think sometimes it's hard because we are young, and we also look, obviously your listeners can't see us, but we look younger than we are to most people. And so I think sometimes we'll have guests come on and then they're like, they don't really take us seriously. And so that can make it a little bit uncomfortable, or they try to preach like their political views, which isn't what we want our podcast to be. And then we've done a few interviews for other podcasts, and this one, of course, has been amazing. But we've had, like she said, we've had people who it seems like they really try to spin what we say into a negative and kind of like trick us into saying something that we don't mean. And I know that sounds weird, but just like, it feels like they want to start up controversy and we're just not people who like to be controversial. We just want to
spread love and joy.
Yeah. But for the most part, we've had most of our guests are just so amazing and inspiring. And we just are beyond grateful that we get the chance to talk to them.
So what's next for you two? You guys do so much. And once again, the drive-through. Wait a minute. I need to ask a question about the drive-through. Okay. I let it slip earlier, but how did you have a drive-through to your house from a window outside? Did the window lead to like a street or a drive, or was it the window right to the driveway where people could drive up?
Yeah, it was just the window like on the next to the porch by our driveway. So it wasn't even that close to the street, so I don't think anyone saw it.
Yeah, we just like we would tape signs outside, like on the stop signs and stuff, like pointing to our house, and then we put signs in the window. And so I think that's why we didn't get any customers, because we really see what's going on. But we sat by that window and waited all day for a few weeks, just waiting for someone to stop by.
Yeah.
So you guys have been entrepreneurs for almost 20 years now. What's next? What does the next 15 to 20 years, what are some of the goals that you guys have for the next 15 to 20 years?
Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go five. Let's not think that far ahead. Let's go five.
I think that, everything, we have so many goals, and we are obviously graduating college in a month. So we're really trying to figure life out. And I think we have so many passions that it's hard for us to really choose a direction, because we've kind of just been doing so many different things. But I think we would really love, well, I guess I'll just speak for myself. We would really love to continue Stage Bugs and try to build it up into a bigger program and be able to offer more affordable and accessible programs. I just really love doing it, so I can't imagine giving it up at this point. But I think it is also hard because the other professions that we want to explore are not necessarily in Colorado, which is where our company is. But I think we would love to continue the podcast. We would love to grow it as much as we can. I think we wrote and produced a pilot for a series over the summer. So we would love to be able to get that made. But obviously, that's a very big ambition. But we really love like writing and producing things. So we have like a little production company, and we would love to be able to keep making things. And we both love acting, so I think we are going to continue just grinding and auditioning and that kind of stuff. And we've always wanted to open a bakery, so maybe someday that'll be down the line. We've also thought about opening a dinner theater, since we love baking and cooking and theater. I don't know. It's kind of all jumbled because there's just so many things that we want to do. So, and we don't know where life will take us and what things will be successful and what will not. But I think we're just going to keep creating as much as we can, try to find jobs where we can make some actual money and continue our passions on the side until they hopefully take off. We're writing a book too that will hopefully be published. It's a Christmas book, so hopefully will come out next Christmas. What else? I don't know.
I think you covered it. I think our short-term plan is we have programs. We have summer camps at Stage Bugs this summer, and we'll be continuing the podcast and working on getting our book published.
Yeah.
And then I think from there, we
both can't really imagine our lives without stage bugs, and we can't really imagine our lives without acting and producing and writing. And so just finding a way to do all of those things, and we'll see where life takes us. Yeah. I think we, like she said, just keep creating and doing the things we're passionate about. Well, definitely the podcast is one of my biggest ambitions to continue and grow right now. And then I think I am going to be focusing a lot on writing, because that is a huge passion for me. And then
I'm going to try to be a nanny for a while, because I love babies. Just like on the side while we're doing all this stuff.
Ooh, yeah. So much y'all want to do. Plug everything. Tell everybody, like I said in the intro, everything that you guys do will be in the description section in both the audio and video of this episode. But tell everybody from your own mouths where they can find all of your information to get all of this good stuff that you guys are producing.
Yes. Well, first of all, please check out our podcast. It's called It's a Twin Thing. You can find it on Spotify or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. And then you can watch our web series called Quarantwined. That's quarantined, but with twin in the middle. Just search Quarantwined on YouTube, or you can search up at The Summers Twins on YouTube. Also, you can find us at The Summers Twins on Instagram and TikTok. And stagebugstheater.com. If you know any kids in Colorado who want to participate in theater, or we always accept donations, and we also have a lot of free ways to support us. For example, if you live by a Kroger, you can sign up for community rewards. And then basically when you go shopping, they donate money to Stagebugs for free.
Oh, wow, so, that's beautiful.
Just anything like that is always appreciated. Or you can just see what we're offering, and see the pictures of our cute kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I think those are the big things.
Okay. Ashley, Aspen, I want to thank you guys so much for coming on the show. Your story is amazing and inspirational as well. And it teaches us to follow our dreams, yes. Follow our passions. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story.
Thank you. I should say, I forgot when we were plugging stuff. If you are interested in learning more about our Parents Foundation, you can also check out fetalhealth.org. I should plug that too. But yeah, thank you so much. This was really amazing getting to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. I want to thank Ashley and Aspen for coming on the show. And, you know, I talk about this after all of my interviews, but I guess I just choose really well. Here was another example of two remarkable people with a remarkable story. And y'all know how I feel about Gen Z. I think that's going to be the greatest generation. Here they were at 3 or 4 years old, already trying to come up with businesses. Here they are, young women, just getting ready to graduate college, getting ready to start their life. And they already started a nonprofit to help underprivileged kids, teaching them theater. This is just, they have a remarkable story, and you could tell that they come from good stock because of their parents starting the foundation, the Fetal Health Foundation, to help other people. And you see that was passed down to Ashley and Aspen because during the conversation, everything that they talked about, yes, it is a passion. And Ashley said it's not a selfless act, but it is a selfless act because people can do their passions and still not help other people. Ashley and Aspen decide to do their passions, but still help people. And they're running themselves ragged, working day and night to try and give joy and positivity to the world. Go and donate to not only to their theater, but also to their parents' foundation. We need to support people who are legitimately trying to make a difference in other people's lives and don't ask for anything in return. They just want to help. I am so privileged to have had Ashley and Aspen on the show. I hope that you guys enjoyed the show. I hope you guys learned something. Next time out there, and I don't know if you guys didn't notice or not, but I didn't ask that dumbass question that most people ask of twins. Who's older? That's not important. They're individuals. Yes, they're twins, but they're individuals. So enlightening to learn that aspect of being a twin that I never even thought about. And I got twins in my family. But like I said, Ashley and Aspen, I wish them nothing but the best and success, because those are the type of people that definitely deserve it. Everybody, I guess, deserves it, but no, people, there's special people in this world, and these two women, these two young women, are definitely one of those special people. So thank you once again for coming on to the show. I want to thank everybody in the audience for listening. I want to thank you for watching. And until next time, as always, I'll holla. Woo! That was a hell of a show. Thank you for rocking with us here on Unsolicited Perspectives with Bruce Anthony. Now, before you go, don't forget to follow, subscribe, like, comment, and share our podcast wherever you're listening or watching it to it. Pass it along to your friends. If you enjoy it, that means the people that you rock with will enjoy it also. So share the wealth, share the knowledge, share the noise. And for all those people that say, well, I don't have a YouTube. If you have a Gmail account, you have a YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can actually watch our video podcast. But the real party is on our Patreon page, After Hours Uncensored and Talking Straight-ish. After Hours Uncensored is another show with my sister. And once again, the key word there is uncensored. Those are exclusively on our Patreon page. Jump onto our website at unsolicitedperspective.com for all things us. That's where you can get all of our audio, video, our blogs, and even buy our merch. And if you're really feeling genuine and want to help us out, you can donate on our donations page. Donations go strictly to improving our software and hardware so we can keep giving you guys good content that you can clearly listen to and that you can clearly see. So any donation would be appreciated. Most importantly, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for listening and watching and supporting us. And I'll catch you next time. Audi 5000. Peace. Freedom over fame, the cycle stays the same.